Rosie TV.
Little windy. Looks like I got no fuel. Okay. Welcome to MZTV. I lived in Sao Paulo for a year, back in 2014 and 2015. And I was with a woman who, it turns out, was pathologically jealous. She was jealous of my love for other people. I mean, we're not talking about romantic love, we're just talking about love. See, I know lots of people who are in the body of Christ. You see, it was okay if I loved people named Joe or Bill or John or Waylon. But if I loved people named Alice or Mary or Sylvia or Michelle, oh, no, it was trouble, big trouble. And she actually said to me, I want you to stop loving these women. Women in the body of Christ, agape love, mind you. So I conducted an experiment. I consciously tried to stop loving people so much. And you know what happened? My love for her waned. I said, well, this is interesting. It made me realize that God's love is like central heating. If you try to turn it down for one person, you turn it down for everybody. Because love comes from one source, comes from God. Central loving, you might say. Jealousy is a killer. And that didn't work out, even though I loved her. But her restriction, her need to restrict my love, it's made things impossible. So I came home and I lived with my sister for a year, God bless Kelly. And I was sitting outside one afternoon, and Kelly has a big sycamore tree in her front yard, and the sun was shining through the leaves just beautifully. Leaves were shimmering, a little breeze coming through, kind of like here right now, and I noticed how none of the leaves were competing with each other to try to get more love. They were all just happily receptive of the great solar favor. Because the sun is an equal opportunity shiner, you see. And I won't say God's love is an equal opportunity love, because God is love. There's no opportunity involved. It's just that God loves. He loves the lovable and the unlovable. And it's central love. It's centrally located. There's one source of it. And if you would dial it back for one, you dial it back for everyone. And I thought, you know, the leaves aren't jealous of the grasshoppers. The leaves on the tree aren't jealous of the grasshoppers under the tree. And the grasshoppers aren't jealous of the leaves. In other words, the leaves don't say, how dare you? How dare you take our leftover solar energy? And the grasshoppers don't say, how come we just get your leftovers? Because they're not people. It's the same with Israel. Israel hated the fact that God's love would be shed abroad to other nations beside itself. And so they wanted to restrict and constrict God's love, to keep it just on them. In other words, they wanted God's love to do what the woman in Brazil wanted me to do. Just dial it back for everybody else. Just give it to me. Well, what this woman didn't realize was that the love I have, agape love, the love everyone in the body of Christ has, it's inexhaustible. God's love is inexhaustible. The more you pull from it, the more is there to meet the need. Think of the loaves and the fishes. The more food was pulled from the baskets, the more food came out. You couldn't exhaust it. I mean, more trees or fewer trees isn't going to change the sun. The sun's going to shine. It's not like we have to cut down a bunch of trees so that we spare the solar power. No, because, well, theoretically in my parable here, it's inexhaustible. God's love is inexhaustible. But here's Israel wanting to keep it all to themselves. What was the result? They became constricted in their hearts. Their concept of God's love ended up screwing them. It's like somebody wants to destroy the city that they live in, and so they come up with a diabolical plan. They're going to foul the city water system. So they poison the city water system. And then they go to get a drink out of their own faucet, and oops, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. So now we talk about Christians. Christians hate the fact that the love of God is for everyone. They want to keep it to themselves. What does this do to them? It does to their hearts what happened to the hearts of Israel. It became hard and really unreceptive to the love of God, because they had this constricted mindset. They had this mindset that they wanted God to limit it. But again, central heating. You limit it for one, limit it for all. It's not that God's love could be limited, but their perception of it becomes tainted. You know, we have a lot to learn from the leaves and the trees and the grasshoppers. They don't compete. There's this inherent wisdom in all creation that the love of God is for all. It's on those who accept that God's love is for all, and it just broadens their concept of love. We know that there was a disciple that Jesus loved, and that was John. John was the disciple that Jesus loved. But what if John had said to Jesus, "You know, I'm really liking this love that you have, especially for me. And I kind of resent that these other guys, well, they can have some, but just give me more. Take a little bit from them and give it to me." And as soon as anyone tries to monopolize the love of God, then their opinion of the human race is fouled. Their opinion of God is fouled, and they become foul. I did another experiment while I was in Ohio. It was another, I'm going to try not to love so much experiment. So for this experiment, even when I try it today, I'll do it right now. What I do, sit back and cross my arms like this. And I think, yeah, there are some people I don't really like. So I'll try to work up a real disdain for these people. See if I can do it. See if I can not love them. This generally takes a good, 2 minutes to work up a disdain for people that I don't really like anyway, but I love. But I think, okay, let me try to love them less. And sure enough, after I conduct this experiment, I get in that mood of wanting God's love to be constricted and really a mood of hatred. I find that even the people that I do love, that are easy love, I love them less. It's remarkable. But when I uncross my arms and think on the love of God that shines on the just and the unjust alike, when I love even my enemies, then something really remarkable happens. When I love even my enemies, then the love I have for those people that I like just grows. And I become intolerably lovable and loving, you see. I'm thinking back to those leaves right now. I can hear some leaves rustling here in the background on my patio here in Fort Lauderdale. And I just think of the beauty of non-competition. I think of the beauty of accepting the fact that God's love is not just for me. It's like God's grace. God's grace is the same way. People somehow get the idea that grace, like God's love, is exhaustible. They think you can out-sin grace. But you can't. Because whenever there's a sin, grace rushes in. Because this is what grace does. This is what grace loves. Grace goes wild when it sees a sin. Grace competes with itself to get to the sin. Let me do it. No, let me do it. No, I'll get it. I'll get this one. I'll get this one. So gallons and gallons and gallons of grace rush in for just a little sinful thought. When all it really takes for that sinful thought is a teaspoon of grace. So since gallons of grace have rushed to the scene, there's lots of grace left over. So the other grace just kind of waits for something else to happen. Like, very anxious to, like, okay, all right, we'll get the next one. We'll get the next one. The more you pull from it, the more you pull from God, the more love comes. It's inexhaustible. Like the loaves and the fishes. Inexhaustible. You can't strain it. You can't stress it. You can put, I suppose some people think that if there's too many people in the world, God can't love them all. As if it's a zero-sum game. But God's love, like the sun with the leaves, it doesn't care how many people are in the world or whether they're lovable or unlovable. That's the beauty of agape love. That's the love of God, the Greek word there. Threw a little Greek at you there. Agape love loves because it is love. It can't help itself. And it's a miracle, I suppose, when you think about it, because the more draw upon it, the more it gives, just like grace and sin. Where sin increases, grace super exceeds. It's the nature of it. Likewise, it's the nature of God's love. Where hatred or selfishness or jealousy exists, it's not a problem for love. It rushes to the scene of the crime and covers it. So it is absolutely absurd to think that one could selfishly monopolize God's love and not hurt one's own self. You cut off your nose to spite your face if you try to restrict or restrain, even in your mind, the love of God. It's a terrible enterprise. And you can see how terrible it is when you look at Christianity and how hateful they really are and the terrible attitude they develop, like the Jews did for other people. Jealousy, jealousy, jealousy. We want it all for ourselves. Those leaves, no, they all just shimmered. But it's going down to the grasshoppers too. Oh, let them have it. Great, great. We're all in one big ecosystem. And the sun's for everybody. The noble leaves, the ignoble grasshoppers. Some grasshoppers are noble, I suppose. Thus also the love of God. It cannot be exhausted. It will not ever be exhausted. There's enough of it. I don't even want to say there's enough of it to go around, because even that suggests a limit. It's miraculous. And if I haven't mentioned it yet, I know I have, but I'll say it again. It's inexhaustible.